I was just wondering, although I can hear an echo right here, so I'm assuming that everybody can hear me. Me. Okay, I hope everybody had a good week. We're going to continue on talking a little bit about Christian evidences, but before we get started with that, I wanted to go ahead and have a prayer, if you don't mind. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us each day. Father, at this time, we particularly thank you for this time that we have to be together, to study another portion of your word, to talk about the evidences that prove that you are the one and only true God and that your book is 100% your word. Father, as we go through this class and these services, help us to do the things and say the things that will help us to help you. We thank you so much for your Son and everything that he did for us. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. What I'm going to talk about today, just for a little while, is the unity and accuracy of the Bible. And it's something that you don't hear about that as much as you used to. I can remember when I was first became a member of the church, that was something that you heard, you know, at least 4 or 5 times a year at churches. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems to me like in the last few years, we have, as a church, we haven't really concentrated on that like we used to. Now, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing in all cases, but it is something that we need to remember, especially when we go out in our everyday lives and people ask us questions. We should be able to give the right and biblical answers and prove why we believe the way we do. Okay, let's talk about the claims first. The Bible claims to be inspired. Now, what does that mean? I mean, a lot of things are inspire people. Gone with the Wind is inspiring. The Bible's from God. And it's... That's right.
Some other inspired books, but they don't even.
What?
Can I make one other comment? I have never forgotten we're one generation away from apostles.
That's right.
So I agree with you. Maybe some things need to be emphasized a little more than they have in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep that in mind.
That's right, and when we talk about the Bible being inspired, you know, we're talking about, number one, that it comes from God. Number two, it comes from God 100%. That it's not just somebody's idea about, oh, this is what I think that God wants us to do. Which a lot of people, particularly if you look in the denominational world, they take the Bible as sort of semi-inspired, like, you know, it's really good to read, but I can pretty much make up what I want when I preach. No, that's not the way the Bible is. Every word in this book comes from God. And there have been countless ways that God has proved that. But let's see. The question is there sufficient evidence to warrant the conclusion that the Bible is, in fact, a volume of divine origin. Well, I think we can show that that is absolutely true, and not just in general. In the specifics of each book, that can be proven. The unity of the scriptures, you know, we have all heard that term before. And, you know, this here, right, says, do you think that it seems reasonably possible that 40 men from varying backgrounds and scattered across more than 1,000 years in time could have designed some 66 books which accidentally came together to form a precision machine that revolutionized the world? Now, what this is particularly talking about, it's basically, if you look at it from even a mechanical point of view, I mean, really, could that many people come together over, you know, hundreds of years and put together some sort of machine that works perfectly? Probably not. And it's the same thing with the Bible itself. From a human vantage point, there's nothing that compares, even comes close to this book. I mean, I don't read quite as much as I used to, but, you know, I've read some really good books that I thought were just absolutely wonderful, but they don't compare with the Bible at all. I mean, if you think about it, you've got, you know, like I said, you've got 40 people over a span of about 1,600 years from a variety of different places and different cultures. And in at least three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and have managed to put 66 books together. And it shows such amazing unity and continuity and accuracy. And yet some people will even today try to claim that they were just lucky. And, you know, I mean, come on, we're not that smart. And from Genesis to Revelation, there is a marvelous unfolding of the general theme of man's fall from his holy estate. God's plan for his redemption has carefully worked out across the centuries. The atoning death of Jesus Christ and the ultimate victory of the Christian system, no serious student of this matter can fail to be, you know, basically awed by the vast body of consistent evidence. The countless thousands of instances of minute agreement between the biblical writers. I mean, if you look through the books, it is amazing how much they are completely in sync with each other. And I mean, you know, how many pages is this? I don't even want to think about it. But it is something that is unique. Now, are there other books that people say that are unique? Yes, of course. But almost without exception, if you pick up those books, particularly if you can find an original, like first edition of a book, it always has errors in it, just because people are not perfect. I mean, I was reading somewhere the other day that when, how many of you have ever had an Encyclopedia Britannica in your home? Yeah, well, me too. Well, supposedly when it first came out, it had so many mistakes in it that many people just threw it away because they just didn't pay attention to the details. And That happens with a lot of things. I mean, you can look at books today. If you really pick up a book, particularly if it's a first edition of a book, whether it was written 100 years ago or whether it was written yesterday, if you carefully go through the book and read it, you can almost always find a couple of errors. That's just, you know, we're human. That's just the way that we work. And the flawless accuracy of the Bible is something that is unlike anything else that we have ever looked at. And one of the reasons that it is so amazing is that, let's face it, you know, the Bible is not a new book. You can take the discoveries that have to do with the Bible back thousands of years, and yet the accuracy is there. Well, that doesn't happen by accident, because we're not that good at it. The providence of God is almost on every page. The historical evidences of the scripture, look at certain things. Okay, how many of you know what a Hittite is? I mean, they were people. Hittites. Until about, I think it's like 50 years ago. Yeah, in the 50s. One of the things that science kept saying about the Bible is that, well, it can't be real because there's no such thing as Hittites. And at that time, they couldn't put their finger on it and say, yeah, I said, there's nothing there. Well, somebody who was trying to prove that there were no Hittites instead found them. He went to the Middle East. He spent years going through digs and researching, and boom, he found the Hittites. They were actually a real people. They lived in that area, and they did not live there just for a little while. They lived there for a long time. And so when he went to try to prove that they weren't true, turns out he proved that they were true. But to his credit, he admitted it. I think his name was Ramsey, if I'm not mistaken. But it's one of those things that to prove the, one of those big words, historicity of the, even the book of Acts. There was another guy that tried to do the same thing with the book of Acts. He was just absolutely sure that it was not true. So he decided he was going to do the research and prove his point. Well, once again, he didn't. He proved the exact opposite. And, you know, unlike some people nowadays, he actually came out and said that he was wrong. That as far as he can tell now, the book of Acts is exactly what it claims to be. There's a man named McGarvey who wrote a book called The Lands of the Bible that he talked about the things that people thought that were illusions or thought that they were made up, thought that they, you know, were in this spot instead of that spot. Every time you actually dig down and do the research, it turns out that you find the exact opposite. The Hittites are just one example. The way that people look at the scriptures, you think about the way, just the little details. There are hundreds of instances in which the Bible can be checked for accuracy in all sorts of matters. For example, the scriptures always are topographically correct, or are compass references accurate? Is Egypt down from Jericho? Is the way from Jerusalem to Gaza south? Is Bethel really west of Ai? Well, yes, it is. That is absolutely true. People have tried to claim all along, these people didn't know what they were talking about until they went and measured it. And yes, all of those things are true. And it's one of those things that you have to dig in and look at it, but it's just amazing. I mean, every time that I go into the Bible and look, sometimes even I'll find myself going and looking it up on a secular source to see if, you know, was that really where they say it is? Well, yeah, it was. And now when scientists first started looking into this years and years and years ago, some of them made a mistake and said that, well, this wasn't true or this was true. But when they have actually gone back and looked in detail in a scientific method of looking at it, it's amazing how accurate this book is. And so the way that we look at it today is, I think, completely justified from the point of view of its accuracy. But, you know, you will find that there are going to be people that you could talk to every day that still claim that it's not. And the funny thing is, you can hear people talk and their claims have already been proven wrong years and years and years ago, and it's like they forgot that that happened. Because some people are so stubborn. And one of the other ways that you can look at the Bible as being completely true is in prophecy. It's this book calls it predictive prophecy. To the promoters of idolatry in his day, this is Isaiah, he issued a challenge, let them bring forth and declare unto us what shall happen, declare ye the former things that as they are, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. And he's basically telling them to prophesy. And then he did it, and he talked about the history and how it's corroborated. And the thing you have to look at when you're studying the Bible and beside it look at what history says is, you know, is what the biblical writers did they write things that, at least as far as we can tell, were true. And that includes the miracles. If prophecy is valid, then it's, you know, let's face it, it's beyond man. I mean, when you talk about something that is not going to happen for 1,000 years and it turns out to be true, now at the time of your prophesying, everybody's going to say, yeah, right. But looking back now, it's just amazing how accurate people were. But the...
Mm-hmm. Instead of which makes sense. And so I think that was one of the things that was talked about for BDS, and the things that people were disputing and saying they were not accurate because it didn't look like Jerusalem was up as far as north. It's up as far as elevation.
Yeah. That's what up means. Up doesn't mean north. I mean, north means north. But now I do know that in some secular books that you'll hear that as a term sometimes, but not in this book. But another thing you can talk about, you know, and we're just touching on some of these things, but you talk about nations. I mean, if you look at, okay, Israel's history is vividly portrayed in Deuteronomy. Study this narrative carefully and compare it with history. When Israel became deeply involved in idolatry, Isaiah foretold that the Lord would raise up the Assyrians as a rod of his anger. And most people now think that when Isaiah said that, that the Israelis didn't even know what the Assyrians were. But that happened. They rose, came, and, you know, basically just tore Israel apart because they were so far into sin. And then, once the Assyrians did what God wanted them to do, the Assyrians themselves were destroyed. After that, the kingdom of Judah lapsed into a state of spiritual decay. This was a few hundred years BC. And the prophets announced that Babylon would rise up and punish them. Well, they did. And it came about that the historical perspective of all these is amazing, because one of the interesting parts, particularly about like the Assyrians, when they came and they destroyed like 45 cities in, quote, Israel, but not Jerusalem, because they just never could. Because that's what the prophets said. They said that they would not destroy Jerusalem, but they would lay waste to the countryside. And they did. But Jerusalem held. And as a matter of fact, I think it was the Assyrians, when it looked like they might actually be able to conquer Jerusalem, all of a sudden they were attacked by the Babylonians. And like 150,000 Assyrians were killed. And then the Babylonians went away, and then they came back. And these things are part of what the Old Testament, in this case, talks about. And they're talking about the Assyrians were the rod of his anger, the rod of God's anger. And that's in 1 Kings. And in the other books of the Old Testament, you know, you hear about the Medes and the Persians. And, you know, one of the things that I think this book is funny, it talks about every schoolboy knows about the Medes and the Persians. Well, today that's probably not as true as it used to be, because they just don't learn about that anymore in school. Now, I can remember talking about them when I was in the 6th, 7th grade, but nowadays, no. That's just one of the other things that we as Christians need to think about, that, you know, they don't really concentrate on the things that we concentrated on in school when we were young. Because, contrary to popular belief, back then, this book was still even from a secular point of view, important. And most people back then looked at it as historical as well as spiritual. Now, the trouble is, it's still that way. But a lot of people nowadays try to prove every time you turn around that things that they say in the Bible are not true. Well, so far, they have not been able to do that. And because don't forget, all of these nations, one of the interesting things is that some of the nations in the Old Testament that they talk about, when Jeremiah or Isaiah or one of the other prophets talks about that, you know, this is going to happen, that we're going to be destroyed by this particular entity. Well, at the time that he said that, that entity didn't even exist. And then years later, it came true. And the modern science is only in the last 30 or 40 years has really started to find scientifically some of these nations that are from that time period, way back thousands of years ago. They just dismissed them for years and years and years. Well, it's like we were just saying about the Hittites. They said there was no such thing as Hittites, well, until they found them. And that's the same thing with many of the ancient civilizations that science said, they're not real until they found them. And now, to at least their credit, in a lot of instances, once they found them, they admitted that they found them. But now, the one thing that the prophecies that were made in the Old Testament, they're one of those things that you can't really measure when they were made. You know, people would say, because they were in the future. Well, looking back, fortunately, from now, we get to have the privilege of seeing how many of these prophecies came true. Even though at the time when they were prophesied, in many cases, people didn't believe them. And in some cases, we don't know why, because when a biblical prophet, when he made a prediction, there was usually something accompanying it that proved that he was actually a prophet. But people still didn't believe it. And sometimes even the prophets themselves didn't believe what they were saying, but they said it because God told them to. But the main thing I wanted to talk about is the prophecies about Jesus Christ. There are I don't know who Sidney Collett is. I looked him up, and it says that he was a scientist years ago. But he declared that there are approximately 800 prophecies in the Old Testament. No less than 333 center on the person of Jesus Christ. The panorama of prophecy regarding the Son of God is nothing short of miraculous and is a demanding evidence for Bible inspiration, because in every case, the prophecies came true. If you talk about it, the lineage of him, of Jesus. He would be born of a woman. Now, I'll admit, I could have probably predicted that. But of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, of the royal lineage of David and born of a virgin. These all came from the Old Testament. Some of them are hundreds of years before it actually happened. The time of his coming. Christ was to appear during the days of the Roman reign. Now, we all know that now, but when Daniel said it, there was no such thing as the Romans. The Romans were way over in Italy at that time, and they were just around that little town called Rome, and they controlled nothing outside of about 10 miles outside of Rome. But another thing that you hear is when they talk about the time of his coming, Daniel predicted in Daniel 2:44 that he would come while Judah still possessed its own king, that he would be killed some 490 years after the command to restore Jerusalem at the end of the Babylonian captivity. That was in 457 B.C. And, well, we all know what happened in 30 A.D., which was about 450 years later. But the interesting part about that is that it's just amazing how, to me, it's amazing how people can read something like that and then still deny it. But they do. And the number of prophecies and miracles that you see in the Bible that are witnessed by huge amounts of people are just absolutely astounding. And now, yeah, could somebody have said, well, you know, I'm going to say that this miracle was proved by this many thousand people? Yes. But if you look at all the other writings that talk about what happened in the biblical account in the Old Testament and the New Testament, from even a secular point of view, they all talk about the same things. Nobody forced them to say that this actually happened, like people try to say about the biblical writers. But yet, those writings are there. And when you talk about we just mentioned about his lineage, the time of his coming, the nature of Jesus, that he would be both human and divine. Now, when this was prophesied by Micah, do people really know what that was? No, probably not. The other thing, he was eternal. Though a man, he was Jehovah's fellow. He was to be gentle and compassionate in his dealing with people. He was to be perfectly submissive to his heavenly Father. And obviously, those predictions, in Micah, Zechariah, Isaiah, Psalms, they all came true. And not just, yeah, I could say that was him. No, it was him. And even the betrayal, death, and resurrection, it was foretold. If you look at Psalms 41, and that's when it talks about he'd be betrayed by a friend. Zechariah 11, he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He would be spit upon and beaten. That's in Isaiah chapter 50. In death, his hands and feet would be pierced. That's from Psalm 22. And, you know, these books were written hundreds of years before it happened. Though he would be killed, yet amazingly his flesh would not experience corruption, but he would be raised from the grave. That's in Psalms 16:10. And, you know, if you believe what the New Testament said, that's exactly what happened. These are, you know, just some examples of the things that this book talks about that a lot of people just, they skip over them. They glance at them and then they go on to other things which fits their worldview more than what the truth says. Yes, Jody. Mm-hmm. And the hearts of people today, in my opinion, are at least as hard as they were back then, in a lot of cases. Now, people do believe, at least in Christianity, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be the number one religion in the world, but they believe, most of them, in such a corrupt form of it that other than the fact that they're talking about the same Jesus that we talk about, there are just so many denominations now that have different views about things that are in this book that are completely 100% off. And you just, some of the times I just can't believe what some people think is absolutely true, even though the proof is there that it's not. And, you know, things about the, and what I've talked about, at least here, was just a little bit, it's just a sampling of some of the things that people said about the time of his coming, his nature, the way he was betrayed, what he would be like when he came here, where he would be from, you know, about where his lineage came from. You know, that's just part of what the Bible actually says about Christ. One of the things I thought, let's see if I can find it here. There was a book written, doesn't actually give the date that it was written, but a mathematician named Peter Stoner selected just 8 of the Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ and mathematically assessed that the odds of their being accidentally fulfilled, of just those 8 prophecies, not all of the prophecies, but just those 8 being accidentally fulfilled were basically 1 × 10⁻¹⁷. Now, if you want to look at what that is that means it's 1 × 10 and you put 17 zeros on the right of the 10. That, if you want to look at it from another point of view, we take 10 × 17 silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They would cover the whole state 2 feet deep. Texas is a pretty big place. If you had 1 × 10⁻¹⁷ silver dollars and you put them on Texas, you'd have 2 feet of silver dollars in the whole state. And now if you took these silver dollars and stirred the whole mess up thoroughly all over the state, blindfolded a man and told him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up one silver dollar and say that this is the right one, what chance would he have to do that? Well, that's what the odds are of all of this stuff being right are, and yet they are right. And that's just using those eight prophecies. And how many prophecies are in the Old Testament? I don't even remember the count, but there are hundreds. And if you just took eight, the chances of those being true by accident are, you know, like I said, you know, 50 billion silver dollars in Texas. But it's just one of those things that you see that, to me, it's just amazing that people can look at stuff like this and yet go, yeah, so? And, okay, let's see. Okay, I wanted to read this last thing here. Okay, here it is. There was a book that was actually written that contained these predictions. And the thing is that the Old Testament and the New Testament, when they talk about what happened in the books, there are thousands of scientists that have tried to go back and prove that the Bible is not true. I mean, let's face it, you know, it's one of those things that people just keep coming back to. But the trouble is, it's interesting how many of those people will start out with all the fanfare and, you know, the scientific journals that I'm going to prove this and I'm going to prove that. And then it just sort of peters out after time. Now, a few of them actually come back and say, I was wrong. But most of them don't. They just kind of fade away. And you have to look at the miracles of the Bible. There's no in-between. Either the miracles of the Bible are true or they're not. Either this book is 100% the Word of God, or it's useless. And I think that's one of the things that I'm trying to use this book to prove, and Brian's about to ring the bell in whenever his watch says. But I wanted to thank everybody for coming out today. In a few minutes, we will start our services. I'm glad everybody's here, and I think that, are you ready yet? Yes.
I have a comment. Mm. I mean, with all of the prophecy and all of the evidence, archaeologically, wonderful. But how I know that the Bible is true is because when I started to read it and apply what God said to my life, it made a difference in my life. So if anyone asked me, well, how do you know the Bible is true? I said, because I read it, applied it, and look what happened. Here I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Living the rich and satisfying life in Jesus. That's how I know the Bible is true. Along with all that you said this morning. But I just had to add that.